Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the NBL Pocket Podcast, this time coming to you live from the Pocket Podcast Palisades Theatre, my garage. I've moved down here and you might see a few things. If you're watching it on YouTube, I've filmed a little bit. You get a sense of the space, just trialing it out. Might be a bit too echoey, but if it is, I'll go back to the study. Guys, we're looking at round 11 of the NBL. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games this round, and let's recap them all. This week on the show, we're going to be doing the round recap, so all the games and the final scores and the top scorers, the eye test. I watched 4 games this round, 3 full games and a half a game, Melbourne, Adelaide, Sydney, Brisbane, Cairns, Perth, and in between that, Adelaide and New Zealand, if I didn't already say that. And also in this discussion, we're going to be talking about Corey Homicide Williams, who earlier in the week is predicting the top 4 to be Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide. And he's thinking that Perth are going to drop out of the 4. And I thought it was a decent question for a while. And I'm going to answer that and see what happens. All right, let's start off. So round 11, first game of the round was Melbourne versus Adelaide. Melbourne went on to win to lose this one at home in the open air stadium on Boxing Day. Melbourne 101, Adelaide 103. Really high scoring affair. The NBL must be very pleased with this game. Really exciting. Next game was Sydney versus Brisbane. Sydney took this one 75-68. Next game was Adelaide again playing New Zealand back in Adelaide, and Adelaide 109 beat New Zealand 98. Illawarra played Brisbane, Illawarra 74, Brisbane 100, and then the last game of round 11 was Cairns versus Perth, Cairns 78, losing to Perth 93. And that ends Perth's, 4-game losing streak, I think. So that was that. My predictions this round, I thought Melbourne were going to beat Adelaide. They were the favourites. That didn't happen. I thought Sydney were going to beat Brisbane. That did happen. I thought Adelaide were going to beat New Zealand at home. That did happen. I thought Brisbane were going to beat Illawarra, and they did. And I also picked Perth to beat Cairns. That was earlier in the round. I will concede that when I heard that Bryce Cotton wasn't playing, I thought Cairns had a chance, and you know, I went on a limb on Twitter and I said they might. I said they're going to win. I got caught up. I picked a team that I actually haven't watched this year. I haven't watched Cairns games. They're not worth my time, and I made a huge mistake. But we'll get into that later on. So this round, I was 1, 2, 3 of the 5, maybe 4. Hard to say. So I didn't win my multi. Guys, let's go to the first game of the round. Let's have a good look in this. This segment's called the eye test because I did actually watch this game. So coming into the game, Melbourne were 11-5, Adelaide 7-8. So big game for Adelaide to really make a push for that fourth spot. I've got my notes here. Chris Goulding, he picked up right where he left off, hitting tough shots, late in shot clocks. Really good player. I like the look of Demetrius Conger in the post. He's a guy who struggled this year, you know, hasn't had a huge scoring output, but I like his talent. Like, he's got this high-release jump shot, really gets his arm under it, and when he gets in the post, he takes a couple of dribbles, and then he does these step-backs, and he seriously steps back like 2-3 meters. It's like James Harden. Next, I've got that Moller for the Melbourne looks like Rattus from the Ferals. I don't know if everyone is familiar with the Ferals. Majok Deng was slingshotting threes from all over the court. He had 8 points in the first quarter, and his shot looks really delicate, but it was effective. Adelaide are better than their record, and they're the most entertaining team in the NBL, on a side note. In this game, Deng was shooting like crazy. He scored a bunch of points, but he was conceding so much on defense, and Mark Worthington was saying this all through the week on Twitter and in the telecast. Every point he scored, he gave up, maybe more at the other end. And there was a time when guys like were just going right at his chest. Like DJ Kennedy was just, when he saw him in the post, he took him and scored and won a couple of times. Melbourne, the question I have here is in my notes, Melbourne getting more out of Pledger than Boone, Josh Boone. I think Boone had less minutes than Pledger in this one. And Pledger's just a big, big guy who makes himself present. You know, he sets picks and he rolls all the way to the front of the rim. Big guys out there and big kids out there, the most important thing to do as a big guy is when you run the court, run all the way, grab that rebound, give it up to a guard, and run straight down the middle of the court and run straight to the basket underneath the net. And you just draw a defender. You just create so much space doing that. And Pledge is doing it, and Boone isn't. Boone's got a lot more skill, but just isn't getting it done and not getting the minutes as a result. Adelaide missed a lot of free throws in this one. I don't have the exact tally, but they missed them, trust me. So at halftime, we're 53 to Melbourne, 56 to Adelaide. Deng and Conger are doing it for Adelaide. And then for Melbourne, it's Ware, Kennedy, and Pledger. Third quarter, Boone's got three fouls, and Pledger started the third quarter. Adelaide were just so much more aggressive than Melbourne in this one. I think primarily due to one guy, Jacob Wiley. They've got an aggressive best three players. Nathan Sobey is tough as nails. Jacob Wiley is always going to the rack and always looking to grab the ball out of somewhere. And then also Demetrius Conger, who attacks the ball pretty well, attacks the basket pretty well. So to sort of halfway through the third quarter, or towards the end of the third, Adelaide had 25 foul shots to Melbourne's 11. Melbourne are an aggressive team, but they just weren't. Adelaide really set the aggressive tempo. We go into the fourth, Adelaide up 82 to 75. The fourth quarter was scrappy. Sobey is a big player. So basically, Adelaide goes scoreless for the first couple of minutes, and their first score comes from Nathan Sobey, who hits a two to put Adelaide back up 84-83. At the 7 minute and 24 second mark, hero ball from DJ Kennedy, not needed. I don't know what the play was, but it speaks for itself. So Sobey has these three plays here. He scores two to put Adelaide back up a point, 84-83, as I said before. He then gets to the foul line and hits two more shots to bring them back into the lead. So they go 84-83. Melbourne hit two. And then he gets two foul shots to take him to 86, again giving them the lead. And just alleviating that scoreboard pressure. If he doesn't hit those and they don't go up a point, they go down three or four and they're forced to make a lower percentage play to get back in the game. And then after that, he gets a steal and a dunk to take it to go up three, 86-89. He was just big. He hit, he didn't have a huge amount of points in this game, but there are 6 points, two from the line, four from the field, with a steal, that you can get. You can have 30 in a game, but if you don't get 6 points like that from someone, it doesn't mean as much. And Nathan Sobey was big. I've just got in my notes here, this kid is big. He is tough. I really like him. There was a fattish ref who refereed this game, and Casper Ware does not like this ref. I'll try and get his name. I don't know. But Casper Ware was getting smacked at the hoop in this one and was not liking it. A lot of times he was getting a lot of contact, and this guy was letting it go, and he often lets it go. I'll get a name for your next episode. Sobey, again, I just gave him a lot of positive review, but now I'm going to come down on him a bit. In the fourth quarter, a bad block out at Mitch McCarron. You would have thought he would have learnt. Mitch McCarron loves to go after those offensive rebounds. Sobey should know it better than anyone. And Sobey, as good as he is, got to read that scouting report. This is a thing for the NBL, and a lot of guys, I see it a lot from Brian Bowen, where for Sydney, and a bunch of guys, I shouldn't really call out anyone, where a guy will make a drive, and they'll jump off their player to kind of give a weak contest, passes made, three-point shot, and they've come off a known three-point shooter. Let that guy go at the hoop. Don't do that sort of stuff. And Sobey, Mitch McCarron, he wants the rebound. You know he's going to go for it. You got to block him out. So there's little things that help you get there. I've just got here, exclamation mark, Casper at the 140-minute mark hit a huge shot. Can't remember what it was. At the 1 minute and 12-second mark, there's a foul called on Ramon Moore. He did commit that foul. I forget what it was, but he did. Ramon Moore hit a shot at the 49-second mark of the fourth that was a fluke. He dribbled, he pulled up, he took a bit of contact, he shot from the hip without even leaving the floor, and it went in. It was a huge fluke. He was fouled on the shot, though, and not called, but he did make it anyway. And then I was thinking in this game that Joey Wright was going to get a little bit out-coached, but I don't know why I wrote that on my notes, because the way Adelaide controlled the tempo in this was really good. And to put up that many points and force Melbourne, who are quite a conservative team, to play their style was really impressive. And Adelaide do this to seemingly everyone. It's going to be very interesting when they come up against Sydney, who are very slow, to see if Adelaide can do the same thing to them. Casper Ware at the 6 second mark, he bit off more than he could chew with the 3-point shot. He had a play at the rack. I understand him taking that, wanting to win it, but you know, this is basketball. You only take what you're given, and the shot was, he had a pretty good look at it, but he was stepping back a long way from three. It was a tough look. He would have been better going at the rack, because he was killer in this game at the rack. No one was really stopping him. So I'm not going to say it was a bad choice. It just didn't happen. He always hit shots like that in the past, and this time he didn't. Adelaide win this one, 103 to 101. That's game number one. Next game, Sydney-Brisbane. This game was not as exciting. As I said, Sydney went on to win this one 75 to 68, a lot less scoring. If you're looking at the highlights, 4 minute and 44 second mark, Randall does this dribble move on Terangi where he drives left, goes back, Terangi overcompensates, Randall puts it behind his back, I think, goes under the hoop. It was a sweet little move from Julius Randall, who's, you know, a lot of people talk about Bryce Cotton and Casper Ware. Julius Randle is as good as those guys. I think he's better than Casper Ware. I don't know if he's better than Bryce Cotton, though. But right up there, as far as his ball handling and ability to shoot, score, pass, he may be the best in the league, and there's a reason why he's won MVP in the past. Quarter two, Kyle Adnam. I tell you what, Kyle Adnam is a really good little player. Came in, hit back-to-back threes in the second quarter. And, you know, in a game where your winning team scores 75 points, 6 points is a lot. You know, that's a heck of a lot. And that's just in one play. You end up with more than that. And the commentators, I believe it was Hammer and Carfino, were just talking about the versatility of this guy, where because, and this is what I want Sydney to do more of, because they have Bogut in the paint, who's blocking everything, and what he doesn't block, he intimidates. I mean, you have to look at it there. I mean, Brisbane are a high-scoring team, 68 points. They had a great defensive game, Sydney, but I'll go into that. Because they've got Bogut in the paint, you know, they can go small. Like, I don't have a problem with them going with, against certain matchups anyway, Randall, Lish, Adnam. So what if they, those guys can take away the three-point shot. So what if a guy posts them up or gets around and Bogut's right behind him? The thing that Sydney struggle with then is that second rotation, whether it's Newley, Kickett, or David Weir, is being that second guy to block off that dump pass if a guy sort of beats his first guy, or being there for those offensive rebounds, getting a guy on your back. But as far as what Adnam is doing, is the way he plays with Randall, with Lish, you know, that's not the perfect situation for him, but he makes it work. Got a lot of respect for his game. Bogut was really hooking a lot with his left arm, and that's the arm that he broke in the NBA when I think Stoudemire pushed him under the rim. He broke it bad, and I was glad to see that. I mean, his rehab of that arm really looked like it's finally finished. I know that was a long time ago, but that was such a bad injury to such a delicate spot on his body that it's good to see it come back. So at the half, Sydney are up 45 to 35. Bogut has got 8 points, 8 rebounds to the halftime, and Randall's got 9 points. I spoke about this rotation rebounding by Sydney after Bogut contests. That's one thing they've got to really focus on, Kickett in particular. And where, as I said, Weir, when the shot goes up or a player comes in and Bogut goes to block it or play defense, that second guy's got to rotate over. Bogut with a nice little alley-oop to Bowen at the 5:05 mark. Adnam, Sydney was struggling to find baskets all game. You know, they were playing very late in the shot clock. They were doing this little shell handoff at the quarter court, which made no sense to me. I don't know why they do it. But Kyle Adnam, again, hit 2 runners in a row late in the third quarter just to kind of put something on the board for Sydney. and he looked good. So to go into the fourth, Sydney are up 8. Sydney were getting forced into late shots. Now I've got in my notes here, was it defensive pressure or was it bad offense? I think it was bad offense. First of all, they do 3 or 4 early passes at the quarter court for no good reason. They don't get them any possession. And all it does is take, you know, 4 or 5 seconds off the shot clock. So you're already down to 18 seconds. And, you know, this game was just give it to Randall and hope he creates. I don't know if it's sustainable. Certainly not against the – Brisbane's a good team, but the upper echelon teams of Brisbane are better than Brisbane. I mean, you look here at Sydney, right, and Brisbane. Brisbane shot 5 of 24 from downtown. So Sydney are doing a really good job. And they also gave up 13 offensive rebounds. And, you know, this is where Sydney look kind of bad because they give up a lot of offensive rebounds. But when you force guys to miss that many threes – it's a simple mathematical equation. If you force a team to miss threes, there's going to be more rebounds and more long rebounds. You've got to cover a lot of court. So they're kind of taking away the three and giving up the rebounds, and it's kind of working. In the NBL, if you don't protect the three-point line, you're in big, big trouble. So it's kind of like the juice is worth the squeeze on that one. So the final was 75-68. Bogut had 14, 12, 5 assists and 4 blocks. He looked like the MVP in this game. Brisbane are no slouches. He came up against good players. Bairstow, who played NBA. Hodgson, who's, you know, boomers, what have you. These were not chuds. These were good players, and Bogut looked amazing. Patterson was quiet. You could tell Sydney were like, Patterson and Glidden are not getting off. They weren't worried about Kadi. He had a quiet one. Glidden, Cam Glidden, 5 points, 2 of 8, 25% from the field, 1 of 6 from the three-point line. That's 16.7%. And then 2 turnovers in this game. Lish just crushed him. Like, I don't think Lish had a point. I think he maybe took 2 shots. But huge game. Like, when your opponent does that, it doesn't matter if you don't score. And that's even what Gaze spoke about in the post-game conference. Okay, so the next thing that happened in this college class was they spoke to CJ Bruton about Brisbane getting a third import. There was talk of the player, his father had played in the NBA, he had played in the NBA, and he was long and athletic. Patrick Ewing Jr. is a name that came up. Nice car going by. Was a name that came up. I hate this conversation. Like, Brisbane have got some pretty good players. Now, naturally, a third import would help. But what would also help is if Cam Glidden didn't shoot less than 20% from the field. If Jason Giddey stepped up. And the word that came up this round a couple of times in the live timeouts, which please, NBL, do keep those, is accountability. I'll talk about it later with Tariqo Wright and Trevor Gleason, but like, oh, it's all, you know, oh, Lamar Patterson, it'd be great to see him play with another import, a third import. It'd be nice to see him play with Jason Giddey, playing well and consistent, you know. I like Jason Giddey, but he is inconsistent as ever and anything. And then, you know, Cam Glidden, if he's struggling, you know, strategy. Find a way to get him open, you know, run him off something. Go to someone else. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of, oh, we're not very good, let's bring in another player. It's piss weak is what it is. Don't like it. So that was Sydney and Brisbane. Good game to watch. Pretty tough at times. Next game is Adelaide, New Zealand. As I said, only watched the second half of this one. Again, Adelaide, high scoring, 109, beat New Zealand 98. This game, like I was saying, how the NBL is really good because the games are short, right? So this telecast went from 2:50 p.m. to 4:52 p.m. 2 hours, bang, and you're done. And considering this went for 2 hours, considering that there were 51 combined fouls, 67 free throws were shot in this game, 53 of 67. So long game for the NBL. So Adelaide have got to stop fouling. As in New Zealand, like that. But that's the kind of game Adelaide force you to play. I actually only watched the second half of this game. I actually watched it down at the beach on my phone. It was great. You know, I'm from a generation where that's not really the done thing. It was the first game I'd really watched on the move. I normally always watch it at home. Anyway, Adelaide, New Zealand, Q4, 8-minute mark. New Zealand go to a press. Adelaide had broken. Wiley gets a dunk, and they go on an 8-0 run. Just thought it was bad coaching from New Zealand, from Braswell. Like, New Zealand had showed that they were breaking this press. Adelaide had showed they were breaking this press. And then you go back to it, and then Wiley just went nuts. He got some great dunks in this one. Definitely check him out. Sobey nearly had a triple-double in this game. Okay, we talked about accountability before. So in a timeout, coming down the floor, Demetrius Konga had a pretty easy layup, slightly contested, but nothing above and beyond his talent. And he just left it up on the backboard. It looked slovenly, it looked lazy. And as he's coming up the floor, Joey Wright yells out, and he's mic'd up. You can hear him through the game telecast. He goes, what does he say? Can't really read it, but he just yells out, make that shit. And that's the sort of stuff a coach needs to say to professionals. You don't say it to kids in under 10s, because that's hurtful. But when it's professionals, sometimes you need that. You need to be held accountable. And Joey Wright, that's why I like him. He is such a huge part of this Adelaide team. They've got their best three players, obviously. Konga, Wiley, Sobey. But a big part of their identity is that Joey Wright, who just doesn't take any and really pushes those imports to play well and not just sort of put up stats. He forces a lot out of them. And even in the game before this, it was against Brisbane, I think. He went off on Demetrius Konga in a timeout, because he expects a lot from them, and he's not afraid to call guys out, and I love him for it. But that was it. Adelaide just run and gun and fed Jacob Wiley and did a whole bunch of stuff and beat New Zealand, who are pretty average. End of story. I won't go into it. Next game, Illawarra versus Brisbane. I did not watch this game. I just watched the highlights. Looking at the stats, which I have here on the NBL app. If you don't have it, definitely get a copy of this. Just Brisbane. They just were good. Cambesto, 10 points. Jason Gedi, 11 points. Glidden, 15 points. Hodgson, 9 points. Patterson, 18, 6, and 4. Gibson, 3 points. Kendall, everyone scored. Tarangi, Mika Vakona had a double-double. They did it by committee. All shot pretty high percentages. That was that. You look at Illawarra, on the other hand. I mean, Illawarra were down 21 points at halftime, and they just didn't have it. Guys just didn't really show up. Cedric Jackson played 18 minutes, 5 points. Jordan Jett, 17 minutes, 10 points. Greeter, Emmett Nair only had the 3 points, 1 of 5. AJ Ogilvy again coming off the bench, 14 points, 6 rebounds. David Anderson, 15.7 rebounds. He's kind of their most consistent player the last couple of rounds. The sad one is Todd Blanchfield, who I like. Got a beautiful shot, but he didn't play well in this one. 3 points, one of 7 from the field. Just couldn't do it. They seem to take pretty good care of the ball. Like, I don't see a huge turnover tally from any of them. Brisbane just hit shots like they're capable of, and Lamar Patterson hit a beautiful step back three to end the half. I did see that in the highlights. They just beat them up. Brisbane were the better team, and they beat them up, held them to 74 and scored 100 points. That's what good teams do. Next was Cairns versus Perth. Now, Bryce Cotton didn't play this one. I believe he had hamstring tightness or soreness, so didn't go to Cairns. Cairns is struggling, 1 of 13 coming into this game. They've lost 13 grand straight. As you know, I won't keep suspense. They lost this one too for 14 in a row. Going forward, I don't think they win another game. You know, I don't see who they can beat. They're not going to beat New Zealand. New Zealand are quite good. Unless Illawarra, again, like, just don't show up like they've been known to do. That's a chance. But this team looked very sad and very sorry, and also kind of poorly coached. Anyway, let's go through it. So Cotton was out. And also Nathan Jawai had the flu, but did play. To end the first quarter, Perth are up 3. So Cairns were in this one. They were playing all right. They were getting kind of lucky. A couple of 50-50 balls went their way, late in shot clocks, got them to open threes. The only threes they got in this game seemed to come off defensive breakdowns by Perth or off scramble plays. I was so good and so happy in this game to see Tirico White finally kind of find himself. He had a good little game. What did he end with? I'll tell you later. But he had over 20. Anyway, he had 9 points in the first quarter. In the second quarter, Kansas just didn't take care of the ball. I think they had 5 turnovers in the second quarter alone. At the 5 minute and 31 second mark, we have a live timeout with Cairns coach Mike Kelly. We go to it. He's American. Nobody's perfect. And he gives one of the flattest. What have I got here? Zero direction, zero passion, zero intensity. Now, I don't like coaches who scream and yell. I think that's trite, a bit of a show-off thing. But he was so meek and so quietly spoken that professional players are just going to walk all over that. You've got to be... It just didn't feel like he had any resonance within that group. And maybe I'm off my hinges. Maybe I'm being unfair, but that's just the way it seemed. Like, he was talking in this sort of soft Midwestern American voice, and these guys weren't really paying attention. Going back to... actually, we'll talk about Tariqa White in a sec. So that was one thing. Perth just wanted it more than Cairns in this game. It really was that simple. They wanted it more, and as a result, they were able to do the little things. They played good defense. They rebounded. They didn't waste possessions. They kept turnovers down. They recognized mismatches. Like, they were in the game. They were watching what was happening. Often there were mismatches down the post, and they made sure to get it to, you know, Nick Kay or whoever it was on the smaller guys, Kelly being the big defender who got turned out. Halftime, Cairns 39, Perth 47. So Cairns is sniffing around, but I never really thought they were that serious. What have I got here? There were 3 pinball threes from offensive rebounds for Cairns. One for Trimble, one for Newell, and one for Loughton. Loughton hit one just to end the second quarter to kind of set them up for the third. And, you know, they seemed to be getting kind of lucky. Then their luck didn't hang around. In the third, you know, the Cairns kind of hang around. Trimble hits a jump shot that brings them within 44-48. So in the third quarter, it gets kind of close. I said that Cairns, you know, they were around, but I didn't feel it was genuine. So they got it within 2 points, 46-48 in the third, after Jawai came in and hit a couple of baskets. And Jawai looked big. Like, he looked really handy. Didn't get a heck of a lot of minutes in this game. Only 12 minutes, but scored 12 points, so a point a minute. And then they got within 2 points and then went to a zone. And I was kind of like, Jawai just hit this sort of sweeping little pokes move, little hook into the paint. And I was like, you've got the crowd up for the first time. Crowd's in the game, you're making a bit of a push, and then you sit back into a zone. I was like, no, work that energy for a little bit. I just thought it was a really bad coaching call. And that was at sort of midway through the third. So it was a mistake. You know, you got the crowd. You got Perth thinking about it a bit. They're worried. Pressure up on them a bit. Continuing to the third, at the 3 minute and 53 second mark, there was a foul on Devin Hall. That was no foul. It shouldn't have been a call. And he got 2 free throws as a result. Jesse Wagstaff was better tonight. He had a good game. I've been critical of him in the past, and I stand by my criticism. He's had open shots and just missed them. He just hasn't been able to find a shot. And this game he did. 12 points. He shot 50%. 4 rebounds. He had open looks and he hit them. He'd had open looks in the past and missed. And when you miss open jumpers, it makes you look really, really bad. He hit him, and it made him look much better. Simple equation. So going into the fourth, it's 56-68 in favor of Perth. They got a 12-point lead. It's not going to happen from here. Melo Trimble gets re-engaged. He'd had a bad game to the fourth quarter. Damian Martin had just crushed him, typically. And to start the fourth quarter, he comes down, gets a layup straight away, first score of the quarter. At the seven, and then, you know, he's playing better, and Cairns are kind of sniffing at it. This is important. At the 7 minute and 15 second mark, Perth call timeout. The timeout is for Tariqa White. Cairns are hanging around, and Gleeson wants to say, hey, come on, let's not blow this one. And he's talking directly to Tariqa White basically this entire timeout. There's a few sort of comments about what we're going to run, and then he just launches at Tariqo White, saying, he goes, look at me. Like he's talking about Tariqo White, and then he goes, no, Tariqo, actually look at me. They lock eyes, and Trevor Gleeson says to him, no. So the timeout starts, and Gleeson's laying into Tariqo White, saying, you know, there'd been a play where Tariqo White had caught it and Loughton had crossed out onto him, and it was a total mismatch, and Loughton, for some reason, Tariqo White didn't go around him and made a pass that went into a turnover. And Trevor Gleeson yells at him in the timeout, and he goes, you've got a power forward on you and you're dancing around. And then he says loudly, he goes, be accountable. And then Gleeson goes, no, Tariqo, look at me. Look at me. I need you on this one. He goes, I need you. And it was a good little moment. And this is why I hope the NBL doesn't get rid of the live timeouts, because, you know, the American timeouts in the NBA are crap. They just say the same thing. Like, oh, we're going to run, push the ball. Blah, blah, blah. It's hand. It's canned. It's terrible. Hammy. This was a real moment that I hadn't really seen in professional sports, where a coach, a grown man, is asking another younger man, but still a man, you know, I need you. You know, Gleason's job relies on this guy, and he's got to get it. They've got to work together in a strange relationship where a guy who can't play is telling a guy who can what to do. It's an unusual situation. It was a really great little timeout, and I hope they keep him around. There's a bit of cussing and cursing in them, but they're invaluable. I need you, and he's just calling him, saying, I need you to step up. And to Tariqo White's credit, he did. At the 6 minute and 10 second mark of the game, a minute later, Tariqo White hit a massive three, and it was a total crowd killer. It was totally over at that point. And I was talking about Tariqo White's stats. He had 22 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, shot 50% from the field. In a game that was pretty scrappy, like, cans are terrible, so points were kind of whoever wanted them. Nick Kay had a big game. So that 22 was more like 30, because Cairns gave up layups to players left and right, gave up a lot of shots to Clint Steindl. That was kind of it. So Perth go on to win it. 78-93 in favor of Perth. Looking at some stats, like, it was good to see some bench guys for Perth Wildcats do well. Clint Steindl got the start in this game. He's 150th in the league. He had 13 points. He's a bit of a chucker, Clint Steindl. Like, when he catches it, he wants to look to score, which is not a bad thing. You like a bit of predictability on your squads. He's better off the bench. But he had a good game. Nick Kay, bit of a return to form, 17 points, 5 rebounds. Angus Brandt, again, is kind of missing his last couple of games. Like, they need scoring, and he's a tough player, and I like him, but 6 points. You know, and hasn't done a lot in the losses, so hopefully he can come out and do something. Tariqo White, 22. Damian Martin was great in this game. 6 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, but timely steals, timely clampdowns, just look good. And then, as I said, Jesse Wegstaff had 12, and Mitch Norton had 12. He was tough inside. He's got no jump shot, but he can get to the rack, and he's tough. Greg Hyer, 7 rebounds, which was, I think, the highest for the Wildcats. It was. No points for Greg, but good game from him nonetheless. What was interesting about this game was Nathan Juai did not come into the game in the fourth quarter. He looked good. I mean, 12 minutes? 12 minutes out of a possible 40? That's a quarter of the game time thereabouts. He should be their starting center. His place, they went with Lowe. Rob Lowe, not the actor. And in his 21 minutes, Rob Lowe didn't score a single point, grabbed 6 rebounds, and missed 4 shots. 4 three-pointers, 5 in total. Melo Trimble, 14 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, shot 33%. Not the best. I just thought he was their best player. Now, I don't know whether he's just given up, doesn't try, or was hurt and flu-like and didn't want to return. But if he's healthy and didn't sit that fourth quarter, either because it was attitude, he didn't want to play, or because the coach didn't want him in, there's a problem. there's a big problem there, because he should have been in that game. He should have started the fourth and played the whole fourth. And if he got tired, give him a timeout. Or at the very least, bring him in at the 8-minute mark. Give him 2 minutes on the bench and play him. But there's a problem in Cairns, and his playing time is a big reason. And I want to find out, so I'm going to be asking around to figure out what's going on. End of story, though. Cairns lose again. I don't see a way in which they win another game this year. I think they're going to lose every single game thereafter. They are a team that is at the total mercy of their opponent. They got Mello Trimble, who's a skillful player, but not a pro. He's a talent, but not a professional. Someone's moving chairs. Talented, not a professional. Big difference. This league eats talent for breakfast. You need to be a professional. That's just not him. Not yet. I like the way they tried to build their team. Just didn't happen. Beautiful commentary team up in Cairns, by the way. We had, I'm so sorry to say, I forgot his name, the co-host of the Australian basketball show, I forget his name, but then also Trigger Trigar and Mark Worthington, who was good despite calling Illawarra Wollongong at one point, and also getting confused with the pronouns, calling like Cairns we, because he played with them and was obviously pretty close with the team. So, but they were, Cam Trigar in particular, like, he was really good to listen to. On a side note, NBL commentary, it's really great. Like, if I had to pick my all-stars right now, it'd be Shane Heal, Cam Trigar, Carfina, Worthington. Corey Homicide-Williams is entertaining. And then, of course, your classics like John Casey. I hope I'm not forgetting anyone. Oh, and then Santa Maria. These are all really good guys to listen to. Like, Santa gives some really good commentary here and there. And Shane Heal, I think Shane Heal's the best. Shane Heal's the new voice of basketball in this country. He's great. He doesn't mix his words, and he knows the game, obviously. So that's the whole kit and caboodle for that round. The ladder after round 11 looks like this. Sydney are on top, 11 wins, 5 losses. Perth are second, 12-6. Melbourne United third, 11-6. Brisbane are in the much-coveted fourth spot, but only on 0.01 percentage point, 9-8. Adelaide 36 is 9-8 as well. Sixth is Illawarra, 7-10. New Zealand 6-9. Cairns 1-14. Corey Homicide-Williams in the week said that the top four is going to be Sydney and Melbourne at the top, with Adelaide and Brisbane. You look at where they are. Perth have already got a 3-game lead on both of those clubs going into round 12. And I wanted to ask the question, what it's going to look like for Perth to miss out on the top four. Because they have had a really bad streak losing to good and mediocre teams that their record suggests they should be better than. So here it is. Round 11, they played Cairns and won. Round 12, they're going to play New Zealand at New Zealand, which I've got penciled in as a win. They lose that one, they're in trouble. I mean, they lose any game, they're in trouble. But that's one that's like, it's a long way to go for Perth, all the way to New Zealand. They're an average team out of the playoffs. They should beat them. But it's a team you could lose to. Sean Long is big. And who's their other import? Corey Webster is big. You know, so they got to look out. Then they have a bit of a soft landing. They play Cairns again at home. They'll win that one. Then they play Adelaide at Adelaide in round 14, as well as Melbourne in round 14. That's tough because, you know, they're going to be playing two games in a week, probably within 2 or 3 days of each other. That's a tough schedule to face either one of those teams on the second game of a round. Especially being Melbourne, but arguably best team in the league. So, you know, I've got them as losing both of those. They could very easily lose to Adelaide at home. I just think Adelaide are too good at scoring. I think Perth are a great defensive team, but I think Adelaide are a better offensive team. And I just don't think Perth are going to be able to run with them in Adelaide. And then Melbourne are real good as well. Going on, round 15, after playing two games, they play two games again. They play Adelaide at home, and then they play Sydney in Sydney. I've got those two conceivable losses, especially the one in Sydney. I don't see them beating Sydney. Round 16, they play Illawarra at home and should win. Round 17, they play Sydney at home. Round 18, they play Adelaide at home again. And then in their last game of the year, they play Melbourne. So their run is brutal. They had this easy run before the Hotman Cup with lots of home games and lots of easy teams, or easier teams. And now in their last, how many games? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. In their last 11 games, they play Adelaide 3 times, Melbourne twice, and Sydney twice, and New Zealand on the road. A really tough schedule. So if you go really negative on the Wildcats and say they beat Cairns, and let's say they beat New Zealand, I think is fair, and then they beat Cairns again, they're only going to get four really guaranteed wins. Not guaranteed, but close to guaranteed wins the rest of the way. So they're going to go, let's say they go 4-7. They lose every big game. That puts them on a record of 16-3, and that's not going to be good enough to do it. So Perth have got to win some big games. And it's going to be exciting. I'm always getting excited. I want to see them play Sydney. I want to see them play Adelaide. Adelaide are going to be fighting for spots as well. It's not like you're going up against Adelaide who are sort of in the four and got guaranteed. No, they need everything they can get. So do they make the top four? I think they do. I think the team that's going to miss out is going to be Brisbane. I think it's going to be Sydney and Melbourne, definitely. And then I think, barring injury, of course, but I'm not going to predict on that. I think Sydney and Melbourne are in, and then Perth are in, as well as Adelaide. I just think Brisbane are going to miss out because they're inconsistent. I like the thought of Perth buckling down and winning a big game on the road or a big must-win even at home, rather than Brisbane. I think Brisbane are wishy-washy. I don't trust Jason Kadir and a few others to make it happen. Whereas Adelaide, I think, are just, they're a dogfight team. They'll fight you hard, and I'd rather have my money on them than on Brisbane. Love Lamar Patterson and Cam Glidden and their team, really, but I don't know. They don't have that hunger that Adelaide do. They haven't got Joey Wright going nuts on the sideline, forcing them into a win. So that's me. I think Perth make it, but it's not going to be easy. Next, round 12. First game of the round is on Thursday at 7:50. Cairns play Brisbane. I'm tipping Brisbane. Next game of the round is on Friday at 7:50. Adelaide play New Zealand in Adelaide. I think Adelaide are going to win that one. Next game is on Saturday at 2:50. This one's on Go. Illawarra play host to Sydney. Sydney will win that one. New Zealand on Sunday at 12:08. All these times are Eastern Standard Time. 12:08 on Sunday. New Zealand play host to Perth. I think Perth are going to win that one. On Sunday again at 2:08. It's a big game of basketball on Sunday. Brisbane play host to Melbourne. Big game for that. And then the last game of the round is a bit of a fizzer on Monday night. Cairns play Sydney in Cairns. And Sydney will hand them their second loss of the round and their 16th overall, if that makes sense, because that team is going nowhere fast. Poor guys. As I said, things for me this round that stood out, Jawai not playing in the fourth quarter of that game, I want to speak to him. I'm going to tweet him, and I'm going to say, why didn't you play in the fourth? Were you tired? Did you ask out? Or did you not play? Because either answer to that is unacceptable. Next thing, good to see Tarico White get some points on the board and have a better game, even if it was against Cairns. Everyone's talking about, here's some sort of rants that I want to finish the show on. I got a rant for you. There's no reason why the NBL shouldn't be bigger. The NBL is a good standard. And what pisses me off is I walk down the street and so many men are walking around, boys are walking around wearing a Yankees cap or a Dodgers cap or a Knicks cap or a Lakers cap or t-shirt, jersey, whatever. That should be an NBL cap.
And my advice to people out there is be your own man. I'm sick of people walking around just because some dickhead wears a Yankees cap, they wear a Yankees cap. They wouldn't know who the starting pitcher is. They wouldn't know who the best hitter is, you know? Make that an NBL hat. Live your own life. Be yourself. That's what's really cool. Yeah, that should be the NBL. The NBL's good. It's great quality, you know? You watch the NBA and there's only really... I mean, this year, there's only really two teams. Houston have fallen off. You got Golden State, who are good. Celtics are pretty good. Toronto's really good. You know, are Milwaukee going to win the championship? Do Milwaukee, the fourth best team in the NBA, have as much chance of winning the championships as Perth or Adelaide do? I don't think so. You know, are Sydney or Melbourne locked to win the championship like Golden State are? No. You know, it's a real league. It's a league you can watch every night and enjoy. I think the NBL needs to reconsider and put some games on a Saturday night. You know, right now with the day games on the weekend, it feels like a little bit like a kid's sport, you know, so kids can have an early bed. You know, that's where I think the Boxing Day game in the open air, Melbourne Adelaide, should show you that this is a real league. I'm sick of this hot take stuff. I heard it come up in the Cairns Perth telecast. You know, hot take, or this is what I think is going to happen. I got a better idea for you. Don't worry about the hot takes and the third import and the call for this and the call for that. I'm going to start doing what I call cold gives. Instead of a hot take, a cold give. And it's a word, I'm going to steal a word from Trevor Gleeson. Be accountable, you know? Don't worry about getting a third import. How about doing what Perth did and having a whole bunch of mid-range and, you know, guys who come off the bench play basketball and hit open shots and play defense and rebound. Hit shots like Clint Steindl did, step up like Tirico White did, and then rebound like Greg Hyer did and play well like Jesse Wagstaff did. You know, it's not a hot take. It's not a Corey Homicide Williams attention-grabbing headline. It's not the sort of, you know, attention-seeking menstrual sort of reporting that's very common now. This is basketball, NBL basketball at that. And that, guys, is the NBL Pocket Podcast for this week. Coming back next week with round 12. Should be good. Cairns play twice, which is not great. What can you do? Guys, I've got some call to actions here. I Googled how to become popular on iTunes, and this is what I came up with. Guys, first and foremost, this is not for me. This is for basketball. Download the NBL app, okay? If you live in Sydney, buy a Sydney cap. If you live in Melbourne, get a Melbourne United t-shirt. If you live in Adelaide, gosh, you got the best team in basketball. Go and watch them play, huh? You know, what would you rather do? Watch the NBA on a Saturday morning with your breakfast? Or would you rather go to the NBL and watch Adelaide score 100 points against Britain, against Melbourne, whoever it is? It's a better ticket. It's a hot ticket, trust me. Number two, the NBL Pocket Podcast is on Apple iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and comment if you could. Be nice to get this thing popular and make some money. The NBL Pocket Podcast is on YouTube. I'm going to be editing these. Sometimes I just put a still picture and have the audio in the background so people who like to listen to it on YouTube can. And that's that. Next, but yeah, definitely subscribe to the YouTube channel. I've got a NBL 2K19 video coming out that could be fun. And then also, I'm thinking about creating a Facebook and Instagram. So if they're up, like and follow those as well. Do whatever you do. Or don't. Whatever. Just do me a big favor and just watch the NBL. How about that? And if you're watching it, tell your friends to watch it and buy them a ticket and go and watch it together. Guys, this is the NBL Pocket Podcast, episode 4, I believe, round 11. I'll see you in round 12.